You're listening to Minor Talk On Demand exclusively on 600 ESPN El Paso. Stay up to date with Minor Talk by downloading the free 600 ESPN El Paso mobile app. We are live. It is Minor Talk presented by Jack in the Box. I'm Adrian Broaddus. It's a full house today. It feels like Christmas. This is awesome. And it's a Tuesday night Conference USA matchup. And UTEP ends up losing Louisiana Tech 14-10. That's the finish. Oh, what are you going to do? You're going to chalk this one up to a frustrating loss. You could chalk it up to Skylar Locklear being knocked out on a disgusting hit that is going viral. You could chalk it up to special teams, which plagued the Miners. You could chalk it up to the offense. You know, they went 1-14 on third down, really struggled in this one. Miners led in this entire game all the way up till 6:28 left in the fourth quarter, and they couldn't put the offense together to match Louisiana Tech down the stretch. So that's what how we start things off. Miners are 1-7. They turn the page. It's now on to Middle Tennessee, back at the Sun Bowl, and another UTEP loss that we're getting a chance to talk about. A disappointing one for that matter. Along with Sal Montes, my co-host, along with Zay Galindo, George Guajardo, Alberto Retta, we've got Inspo Lens in the house. Check them out online, InspoLens.com. Check out all the great stories that Chris and the great team put together out on Inspo Lens. And we are live right now on YouTube, on Twitter, on Facebook, and all things here on 600 ESPN El Paso. Well, guys, this is how we're going to get started today, Sal. Another UTEP loss for this team, but it feels like a really disappointing one here on a Tuesday evening against Louisiana Tech. How will you remember this one right here?
I'm going to remember it as a big letdown offensively, and we've kind of seen the same happen for the Miners in various parts of the year. I think we knew Liberty would win the game when they played, but offense didn't really show up in that one. Same with Sam Houston. We kind of felt that they were going to lose it, but you can make it more respectable if the offense shows up. Bits and pieces of Colorado State. However, all that is in the past, but it did not change today. They got a nice play from Locklear to Thomas. But other than that, just a big, big letdown, and not only offensively, but special teams-wise. So we were skeptical of a 3-3-5 going in, but the defense has been the bright spot pretty much all year. So shout-out to Coach Clark and what he's doing with that defense.
Our telephone number here on the program, 915-505-6009. We already have full phone lines. We'll just react to a lot of calls here on the program today. We got a couple segments to get to. Minor Talk is brought to you by Jack in the Box with 15 locations, open 365 24/7 here in El Paso and Las Cruces. Jack in the Box is the perfect spot before and after every game. Let's start off here with the Brain Trust, our crew right here, George, Zay, Alberto. We'll start with you, Alberto. You jump into this one right here. Louisiana Tech defeats UTEP. Your immediate takeaways that we haven't already talked about so far.
Well, the Miners are able to do a few things right in the penalty section, right? They just keep it to two penalties for 8 yards. But like Sal said, extremely disappointed on that offensive side. And you just can't have the type of offensive outing like the Miners had and expect to win ball games, right? I kind of tweeted about it as it was happening, and the Miners just weren't able to do anything after that touchdown. You go to the drive chart, and the next two drives after that touchdown, they get 1 yard. They go three and out both times, and they get 1 yard. So that's extremely disappointing. That's not going to work. And the fact that that the Miners don't go to Shea Smith is, to me, extremely disappointing, especially when you used him on something like a kick return, right?
That's already jumping to it.
It just doesn't make sense to me, and especially when your offensive is stagnant. This loss hurts, and I'll tell you why, because you had every opportunity to win the game, but you failed to go do so. When you failed to go do what you said was your bread and butter, which was score points, go out there, be fast, physical, and fearless. And so, yeah, it's frustrating because you could have had it.
I have a lot of thoughts on what you just said there. I'll get into it later. Zay, your opening thoughts here as we get started on a Minor Talk.
I mean, that was Kasaxion at its finest. I mean, what a game. That was the game of all time, right? I don't have a word for it.
Raise the banner.
It doesn't deserve a word for it. It's just a game of all time.
Hang it in the Louvre.
You know?
Yeah, that's right.
We lost by 4 points in Ruston, I guess.
That's it. That's how you're going to remember it. George, you're over here frantically writing down stats. You're all on this one right here. You're trying to get some analytics. For our listeners who don't know you, George, you've joined us here for the last three minor talks. We appreciate you. Yeah. You are one of our fall interns here with 600 ESPN El Paso. Your thoughts immediately after this one?
Yeah, I mean, Alberto touched on it. Offense, right? It's funny. We've talked about it in previous shows. They take one step forward in some areas, take two steps back in others. So what I was writing down here was the average start position for the minors throughout the game. I didn't get to finish, and I'll get to those stats later for those of you that are curious. But there was a stretch after four drives, the Miners' average start position was 14.5 yard line.
That's terrible.
I mean, the special teams is killing you. It's setting you back. But that also goes along with the offense. They're not moving the ball. The defense is stopping La Tech, but they're not moving the ball. Third downs, atrocious. 7% conversion rate, 1 for 14. God awful. And just an updated stat on JP Pickles. His real stat line today was 2 for 4 for 9 yards.
I mean,
you're not even going to let him throw. I don't know why he's out there playing quarterback.
I like that. I like that. Let me ask you this one. Since you're doing some digging, George, can you dig what UTEP is third downs on the entire season? I want to know the exact number of what UTEP is on third downs for the whole season offensively. I don't know that if that number is good at all. In fact, I think it's pretty bad. But let's waste no time. Let's go out to the phone lines. We already got full phone lines, 915-505-6009. First up, it is UTEP Mineto. UTEP Mineto, good evening. We're jumping quickly to the phone lines. We got a lot of thoughts later on that we're going to continue on, but let's get some thoughts from some listeners like you. Mineto, good evening. Hope all is well, man. What's going on?
All is well. Just first and foremost, want to say hi to all of you guys. Keep up the great work. Miner Talk is the best show in the borderland. Let me go ahead and get straight into it. You know, with the lack of experience that the head coach has in D1, you know, the players are doing what they need to do, but it's his play calling. And if he doesn't change it, or, you know, he doesn't grow from this and he continues to throw, I think I saw a tweet out there, and he throws a lot of screen plays. You know, you're just gonna lose the game for your team. And you know, the defense is relentless. You know, even with special teams doing that, what they did not so well. Bottom line is, it's the play calling, and that needs to change if they want to have a better chance of an opportunity to win.
You know, Mineto, I just want to stick with this one right here and just say that drive that they had, the 8-play, 94-yard drive, lasted 3 minutes, 3 minutes in the first quarter to take the early lead, 7-0. That's the drive that you're looking for. We saw some tweets come in after that one right there. And, you know, you see how the fans respond. That's what they expect. That's what they're hoping for, is a fast drive like that. Something where you are building on runs. You have some nice plays that you're able to build upon. But something where you cap off with a touchdown drive, not one that you result in a field goal. But I love that drive, that touchdown drive. Why couldn't they do that the entire game?
Well, you know, that's what happens when, I mean, usually what happens is the other team basically figures out what Walden's going to do and, you know, puts a stop to it. And then after that, well, you know, it's kind of like the offensive play calling. They're hoping that it'll happen again. But by that time, the opposing defense, you know, basically locks them down. And that's what happened in this game. They let that one go. And there was no more life in the offense after that.
I agree. I agree with you, man. I appreciate it. Thanks for the phone call, Mineto. Thanks for weighing in. 915-505-6009. That's our telephone number as we continue. Guys, you know, I'll ask you this one, Sal. The predictability of the offense is starting to show itself. And I don't know if that's simply because it's inexperience, whether it's the offensive line. We're talking about new quarterbacks. We're talking about new players in the system. I don't know what that is, but there's a bit of predictability going on with the UTEP offense.
There definitely is. And at this point, what is it, eight games so far throughout the year, somebody's going to have to step up and just take control of the offense. The play calling has been lackluster. Obviously, the production has, but tonight, just another game where they're very poor from third down. down. I mean, looking at it, 1 for 14 from third down. They had to go for it on fourth because they're so bad on third down. It's inexcusable. And when you have a coach who's this offensive mastermind, and you look at the offense, and it's the worst part of the game, and you're 8 games into the season. I mean, at what point are you going to relinquish your play calling duties to an offensive coordinator? I mean, this is no different than what we saw with Dana Dimmel.
Oh, Zay, how do I even respond to that? I can't even. Sal came off the top rope speaking facts.
Yeah, you know, the way this season has gone, the struggles that this offense has had, right? It was bound to be said. You know, somebody was going to say it eventually, and it's said right here by our very own Sal. And it makes sense, right? The play calling is bland. It'll be a quick short pass on first down, a run for 2 yards on second, and boom, you're 3rd and 8, and no way UTEP is converting on 3rd and 8. So it's predictable, it's boring, it's bland, and that's why UTEP is struggling to score points.
Let's keep it moving. 915-505-6009, our telephone number. Next up, it is here on the program. It's going to be Jude who's joining us next. Jude, good evening. What's going on?
Hey, guys. Good evening. First off, let me just say I love this show. Love tuning in after every game. I appreciate you guys for having it. I'll get right into it here. This game was super disappointing. I'm bummed out. The defense played lights out, but our offense, again, is just not pulling their weight. You guys took the words right out of my mouth. What do we do? When do we start to consider Jake Brown, you know, calling the offensive plays? Scotty Walden, obviously, super energetic guy, great on the sideline, but the offense he's calling is not working. One thing I do love, though, the run is working. And we saw it in the long drive against FIU. We saw it in that long drive today. We lull him to sleep with some runs. Javon Jackson is grinding out some heavy yards. And then we play action, pass it, and we get a quick 10, quick 15 down the field. I'd love to see us throw it down the field more. I wish we did. That's my first point. Second point, why didn't Chase misplay? Man, I was so hyped to see him. I hated seeing that hit on Skyler Locklear, but I got hyped to see the potential that Chase Smith would be going in. And then I see number 19 marching in. No shade to JB Pickles, but I was hyped to see Chase Smith. And my last point here, just the only thing that's keeping me optimistic about this program, of course, ratings aren't everything, but I was on 24/7 Sports just stalking our recruits from this last recruiting class. We have 43 three-star recruits on the roster. 26 out of 43 of them are freshmen. So some of our best talent on paper has either not seen the field yet or is developing to see the field here soon. That gives me a lot of hope for the next year and the coming years when we move into the Mountain West. Guys, thank you so much for taking my call.
Yeah, great stuff, Jude. I appreciate you. I'd be curious, Jude, real quick, do you know how many of those 26 of 43 three-star players are playing right now? Like, I'd be curious to know that, too.
I don't know that specific number, but I mean, some names are popping out like Stratton Shuffelt and Jalen, I think Jalen Jones and a few other guys. I don't know the number off the top of my head about how many have seen playing time though.
No, but that's good. We did a deep dive into true freshmen getting playing time. And I just think it's good stuff that you're bringing up right there because the true freshmen standing out. I mean, I feel like I do a Kyren Duhon segment every single show here on Minor Talk. I appreciate it, Jude. Thanks for weighing in on the program. The true freshmen have been awesome to stand out and who've really stood out and really shined on the field. But guys, I mean, I'll start with you, Sal. I don't really know if there's an explanation on the Shea Smith side of things. Walden said post-game when he was asked, it felt like he was kind of being put on, not necessarily put on the spot, but he was asked point-blank, you know, what was the decision like in J.P. Pickles over Shea Smith. He cited that J.P. Pickles had a better week of practice, and because of that, he was the backup quarterback once Skyler Locklear went out. I think a lot of other people, like, you know, what we just heard there from Jude, wanted to see a little Shea Smith in this game.
I think in my opinion, maybe the realization that there's only one game left for Shea and you're going to use it, maybe the potential of using it for a home game would be more so. Are you going to burn it against it? And I get the part about him having a game burned on special teams, I'm completely on board. But it's easier to do that when there's I don't know what point of the season it was, maybe three games left or two games left. So in terms of eligibility for redshirt, so I think he's saving it for a home game as opposed to burning it on the road. It'll mean more. There's a lot more people who will be there for him in El Paso. That's my opinion, though. I think he didn't want to burn it.
Yeah, I like the opinion. I would say this to you, Zay. I like what Sal said. If you're going to use that last game, if you're preserving the red shirt for Shea Smith,
too, yeah.
Yeah, and if that's the idea, which it seems like that's it, that's what it is. And that's all Walden had to say. All he had to say in the postgame was, hey, we're thinking about redshirting Shea Smith, and we weren't ready to make that decision today. So we felt like if we were in a position to play any quarterback, we were going to play JP Pickles no matter what, and then reassess after that. Who's to say it's 12 days between now and Louisiana Tech and that Middle Tennessee game? Who's to say Skylar Locklear can't come back? Who's to say that, you know, they get him back after that? And on the flip side, if they don't, then they do evaluate between both quarterbacks. And maybe they do have a discussion between Shea Smith and, you know, JP Pickles. But, you know, for me, Zay, after today and what I heard right there as far as Shea Smith, I get it. I see why a lot of people wanted to. My biggest issue is, why'd you play him on kickoff in game three of his four-game eligibility if you're trying to preserve that for redshirt?
Yeah, I mean, what was the point of that? What was the point of playing him on a quarterback on the defense? You know, we know Shea Smith can hit. We know he's physical, this and the third. But if that was your third-string quarterback at that time, right, and you're playing him on kickoff return, like, make it make sense.
That's on you. Alberto, your thoughts. You're a big fan of this conversation right here when it comes to quarterbacks. Your thoughts on just the shuffling of JP Pickles and Shea Smith?
Yeah, well, I hate to be brutally honest with the coaching staff and the fan base, but at the end of the day, you just have to look at the numbers and the reality of it. And Pickles had one completion on two attempts, and you can't look at yourself and say that he put you in a position to win. Right,
yeah.
And I think maybe I don't know if Shea Smith would have given you a chance to win, but I think that you owed it to your defense, who was playing lights out and giving you every opportunity to go out there and put some more points on the board and extend the lead that you once had. I think you owe it to them to shuffle and look for the answer when you're not throwing the ball forward, when you're not doing anything productive on offense. That's how I feel. I think you owe it to the guys who were out there playing lights out on defense. How are they going to feel after when you only score on two out of your 12 drives continuously and they put you in a position to win, but you don't put the guy in who puts you in a position to
win? Yeah, and it's deflating. At the end of it's just so deflating, especially that defense that played well today. That's where I kind of roped this all back to. At one point, this defense was shutting out Louisiana Tech all the way to about 5 minutes left in the second quarter. So this defense held as strong as they could. I thought on that fourth quarter drive for Louisiana Tech, they were even going to force a field goal, but instead the Bulldogs punch it in. It was an 11-play, 97-yard touchdown drive in the fourth quarter, just take the lead, 14-10. And then at that point, Locklear was already out. JP Pickles was trying to fight back. But, I mean, you mentioned it was one of two. I think the end of number, like George was saying earlier, is 2 of 4 when it was all said and done. Miscalculations on the final stats for JP Pickles. But nonetheless, I mean, you got to give him more than 4 pass attempts if you're trying to play from behind and trying to win a game. I get it. He's a true freshman quarterback, and you want to be a little conservative with everything. But at the same time, you want to win a game and maybe try to steal one on the road in Ruston. I just felt it was disappointing here to close out. 915-505-6009. Minor Talk presented by Jack in the Box. We're also brought to you in part by the District Pub and Kitchen West, 3233 North Mesa. Oscar Eddie at the agency. Give him a call when it comes to home and life insurance, and also give him a call when it comes to auto insurance at 915-400-6000. Don't want to forget our other supporting sponsors such as Wind Supply El Paso, Classic Elegance Coaches, and New Start Homes as we continue here on Minor Talk. Next up, it's David from the east side of El Paso. David, good evening, man. What'd you think of this one?
Well, it was very disappointing. Very. When Skylar went out and they put in Pickles, I mean, let him throw. Can he throw?
I don't know. That's a great question. You know, David, I actually really don't know because with JP Pickles, we talked about this as well. Zay, just to jump in here, I'm not trying to, you know, go too far away from you, David. We didn't even see him a lot in spring ball, you know, when it came to JP Pickles.
Yeah, you know, you said it here. Like, I haven't even seen his headshot. Like, I always look on the roster and... Is it even there?
I don't even, does he even have know like what he an looks arm? Like. I don't know what he looks like. So, David, I don't know what he looks like right now. So, I don't know if he could throw a pass, to be honest, but I would like to see it.
The thing is, as a coach, you don't give a football player, especially a quarterback, that can't throw, okay? If he can run, that's fine. But nowadays, it's throw. If you can't throw, you know, you're not a good quarterback. I'm serious.
I agree, and I know that today's day and age is the dual threat type of quarterback, and I think that we see that all over. I mean, Skylar Locklear is an example of that, the dual threat type of quarterback, but even with Skylar Locklear, he hits his targets. They have a game plan for him in the passing game. What you saw with JP Pickles is an absolute limitation for whatever he was trying to do. David, I appreciate the phone call, man. Thanks for weighing in. I appreciate your phone calls as always, man, and thanks for your thoughts here as we continue on the program. 915-505-6009. That's how we continue. 600 ESPN. I'll pass on Twitter next. Next up is Brian. As we burn through calls, we got full phone line, so we'll keep moving fast. Brian, good evening, man. You go ahead. You give us your thoughts on this one.
Well, it was certainly a disappointing game, but I have a lot to unpack. Let's start off with special teams, which is atrocious. Jacqueline is probably one of the worst punters I've ever seen. The shank kicks and the blocked punt made things really awful, especially for positioning when it came for the offense. Especially in general, with UTEP being stuck at like the 5 or 2 yard line, that was atrocious. But another thing I want to bring up is the quarterback situation. Like we mentioned before, why was JP Pickles only throwing 2 passes? That's one question I had, because as a coach, why do you question your quarterback's ability to throw, especially if he's the third stringer in this case? Why not put out someone like Shea or even someone like Michael Southern or Zach Rodriguez? Because at this point, if he's just going to be running, then why is he even behind center? You even had Javon Jackson throwing some passes at some point, which really threw me off. But that's all I got. Defense was great. Run game was fantastic, but very disappointed. Hope they show up against Middle Tennessee in a few weeks.
I think that was a box score error, just so you know, Brian, as far as the Javon Jackson pass attempts. That's why we keep saying it's 4 pass attempts for JP Pickles. But nonetheless, you're right. Just let him throw. Let him go out there and just try to attempt passes. Guys, we got to talk about it, the special team side of things. It was a really disappointing night for special teams. Adam Jacklin, Zay, a third blocked punt in this one. And that's what you saw as a result of this game.
You know, I can't stop smiling, and I'm going to get to the defense right now, but we had a Michael Southern reference on Minor Talk. I mean, Mount Wood's finest. But back to defense. I mean, this is just completely unacceptable. You know, third blocked punt. I mean, that's horrible, man. These are leading to score. I mean, that one did not lead to a score, but I mean, that's because it's Louisiana Tech, right? Almost any other team is going to score on that, and that can't happen. It needs to be fixed. Kickoff return needs to be fixed. Punt, everything on defense needs to be fixed. It needs to be fixed fast. I mean, these are simple things, really simple things, and it's super frustrating.
Okay, let's get to Milkman, and then we're going to get to it. It's midseason, it's Minor Talk, and it's one of our favorite segments, In or Out. It is one of our favorite segments here on Minor Talk, and we're going to go through it, In or Out, on players. You know, we'll dive into more on punting situations, special teams, or defense, as they call it. We'll get into everything. So that's all coming up. Jack in the Box is our proud sponsor here on Minor Talk with 15 locations. They're open 24/7 here in El Paso and Las Cruces, so I could leave Minor Talk here and go get one of those breakfast burritos. They got all day breakfast out of Jack in the Box. That's what I'm a big fan of. Jack in the Box, the perfect spot before and after every game. Going to Milkman, who is next up on the phone lines, 915-505-6009. Milkman, good evening, man. You give us your thoughts on this game. What's going on?
Hey, guys. What's going on? Well, it's very disappointing, and you are correct. The special teams was atrocious, but I got a question for you. Does Louisiana Tech strike you as a dirty playing team? Because, hello?
We hear you.
Oh, sorry. Do they strike you as a dirty playing team? Because as I recall, weren't they the ones when the guy stomped on I forget who it was, Helmet last year? Remember
yes,
that?
You're remembering this correctly. This was exact. And last year, the dirty play didn't get or result in an ejection, Milkman. So I would say that this time around, it was an immediate ejection because it was targeting. But last year, it was stepping on a helmet.
Yeah, it was. So, I mean, you know, if I was a conspiracy theorist, I might say that, you know, the guy did his job because he took out our quarterback and we were left high and dry. I mean, it was just very disappointing. He got kicked out of the game, but look what we got, you know. So I don't know. I guess they strike me as a dirty playing team, and I guess the guy did his job. I don't know. I'm really pretty pissed off about this.
Yeah, I'm not happy about it at all. I'm happy that you called in frustrated, Milkman, because now we get to get on our soapbox and say how upset we were with the hit. I mean, it was just disgusting. It was definitely targeting right there. No excuse whatsoever. The radio broadcast played, and we heard it was a bad hit, and then we saw the play on a bit of a delay on the actual TV, and it looked disgusting. And they kept replaying it, man. This is one of those hits, unfortunately, that's going to be, you know, you talk about national TV, Sal, and national exposure.
Oh my gosh.
This is going to go all over.
Are you guys ready for this? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 7 judges today. 4 of them refereed last year's game. I'm going to reel off their names.
Wow.
Let's just do it. What the hell, right? Main referee, Rory Bernard, in last year's game and this game. Umpire, Gavin Darr. Linesman, Walter Sloan. Line judge Derek Razzler. All of these guys, give me a break, man.
Wow, that's amazing.
They
that's
get paid for this
stuff. Wow, that...
come on, Judy McLeod, what are you doing?
Oh man,
this
Judy.
Game's on TV. There's no way you didn't see that.
Oh, Milkman, one day very soon, UTEP will be out of this conference.
Thank God. Yeah, the Conference USA refs are, I mean, it's not even it's just a fact. They are the hands down worst refs I've ever seen. I mean, there's no doubt about it. I mean, it's game after game after game. It's a joke nationally.
It really is, man. Milkman, it's great to hear your voice. We appreciate the phone call, and I appreciate you getting in. A frustrated Milkman here on the program today, guys, but I don't blame him here on the program, Zay. If either of you guys have something to say, you just jump in right here.
You know, it's Conference USA refs. I mean, what can – is anybody looking for a job? Maybe one of us can be a Conference USA ref. I mean – I wouldn't say, you know, going to Ruston, Louisiana is you know, great, you know, going for work, but at least you'd get paid.
There you go. Shout out Ben Carlisle. Maybe you can hang out with him, Bleed Tech Blue. Big fan of him and those Louisiana Tech fans out there. Hey, on our YouTube chat, big shout out to Inspo Lens. That's where we're live on YouTube and also on Twitter and X and Facebook. Carlos Hernandez checks in. Predictability is a problem, but the play calling refuses to utilize the middle of the field for passing plays. This isn't a quarterback problem, but it's a lack in trust in quarterback to make a play. JP Pickles was set up for failure by not allowing him to get his feet wet and passing the football. There you go. That's Carlos Hernandez. Back to the phone lines. One more phone call and then we'll get to in or out. Manny is next. Manny, good evening, man. Give us your thoughts on this game.
Hey, how's it going? Graduated from UTEP about 4 years ago, and it's been a rough road, but yeah, so I guess my question for you guys is, do we trust the Scotty Walden play calling right now? I mean, I know he's run heavy. I know we have Javon Jackson in the back, and I know he's a dog. But do we trust, you know, in crunch time for Scotty to call the right play?
You know, I think it's a great question, and I think it's a great way for us to segue into in or out. So I think that should be our first one and our first question of in or out here on the program. Are we in or out on the play calling for Scotty Walden? Manny will answer that if that is it. If you have no other thoughts, give us any other thoughts you have on this team, and then we'll go off and answer this question right here.
Yeah, that was my main thought. Another thing I was noticing, I know we've talked about it already, but was the quarterback situation and the special teams conversation. Special teams, even, you know, Buzz's missed field goal was a kind of a big play in the game because, you know, going having to score a touchdown versus having to score a field goal is pretty different.
I agree. Yeah, I'm a touchdown guy. I don't even want to have your field goal kicker out there missing field goals for you to fail on. So, good stuff there. I appreciate you, and let's keep it moving, Matthew. Manny, 915-505-6009. That's our telephone number. It is in or out, and the first question we got, it was teed up by Manny right there. Are you in or out, Sal Montez, on the Scotty Walden play calling as of right now?
Out. And I say this because this game, you lose 14-10, could have easily been 21-7 at the half. Maybe 14-7, but guess what? 14 is four more points than to your 10, and you probably go to overtime. And I'm just going off of first half. These are all hypotheticals. I get it. But what we saw today, play calling wise and lack of efficiency wise, you could turn on any UTEP game this year and you could find that.
Yeah, it reminds you of a lot of the same games. George, in or out, play calling.
I am completely out. Let me read you these horrific third down numbers. 35 for 115 on the year. That's good at for 30.4%. Let me read you some other horrific special teams numbers. Here you go. The 20-yard line was the average field position start for the Miners today. And you don't think that that's that bad when you compare it to La Tech's. They started at the 42-yard line almost every drive.
Wow.
I'm completely out with Scotty Walden's play calling the screen passes. I mean, why do you have a quarterback if you're not going to even let him throw more than 10 yards, which J.P. Pickles did not do. His longest pass was 6 yards.
Okay, Alberto Zay, anything else to add? In or out?
I'm completely out on the play calling. I think Scotty Walden definitely needs a lot of help. That's how you get that's how you lose the fan base. And I'll just kind of stick to these stats. After that touchdown, where you jump ahead on the Louisiana Tech Bulldogs, you go four straight punts where you gain 17 yards, two straight three and outs, and then you go And then you have another three and out. So, yeah, not a good offensive outing, and that's how you're going to lose a fan base because, like I said already, it's not what you promised.
All right, Zay, your thoughts.
Yeah, definitely I'm going to have to say out on this play calling, at least from this year. You know, I want to give Scotty Walden an opportunity. We saw that offense. You know, he's proven, at least at Austin Peay, that he can run a good offense. It's somewhat creative, and he simply just doesn't have the talent, right? The offensive line is not that good. The receivers are okay, but they haven't done, you know, too much, right? Definitely want to see more out of Trey Goodman. Definitely want to see some Amari White, right? They just don't have the playmakers that you need for this offense to work, so got to be out.
Yeah, I'm going to say I'm out, but I'm not all the way out for, like, next year. I'm okay with if this is the kind of mentality of, like, let's run first, mix in the pass in the future when you have somebody who you can rely on at the quarterback spot. Maybe that's even on the roster with somebody like Skylar Locklear, or if Cade McConnell comes back next year, or they roll with one of these freshmen. Maybe you already have that on your roster, but I want to see the development. Play calling mixed with the player development is key for this UTEP football team here moving forward. In or out, we continue. Sal Montes, in or out, J.P. Pickles, the true freshman quarterback.
You know what? It depends on what game it is. And I say this because do you want to burn the eligibility of Shea
him,
Smith?
Right?
And Pickles as well. I mean, there's four games left. It's not far-fetched, Adrian. Four games left in the regular season. J.P. Pickles has three games of eligibility. Shea Smith has one game of eligibility left before a redshirt burns. So I can't really be out when, in my opinion, if it's to redshirt Shea, I'm all in. I'm all in for three games on JP, and I'm all in on one game for Shea.
Okay.
Assuming, right, that Skyler's out the rest of the year, and we hope he's better. That was a ridiculous hit, but just going off of that, yeah.
And maybe he's back by Middle Tennessee. You never know. We never know. And maybe it's, you know, those concussions could be different if that's what it ends up being. Who knows? I'm just going to say I'm in on both J.P. Pickles and Shea Smith. I just want to see what they have. Like, I'm the type of person, just show me what you have at the quarterback spot, and then I'll judge you after the fact. George, in or out?
I'm in, man. It was you that tweeted it. You stole it from me. Like, where were you when the Pickles era started? I'm in. I want to see what he's got. I would really wish. I mean, he obviously has the legs and the physicality to kind of run that option. But I want to see what he's got in arm and like with his arm. And so I hope Walden can design, you know, some of these concepts around him a little bit and give him a chance. But I'm in.
Okay. Alberto, your thoughts?
I'm in on JP Pickles. I think that the Miners just have to use all the field. That's not what they're doing right now. They're just incapacitating themselves. They're not using the middle of the field, leaving themselves not much room to work with, quite literally. So I'm in. Just expand your playbook or else you're going to suffer greatly.
Zay, are you going to be the only one of us who's out?
Nah, you know, you got to give them the benefit. You know, I'll say I'm in. But I am out on this recruiting philosophy, you know, coming in, not bringing in a quarterback who played any meaningful football at the Division I level. I mean, let's talk about that. What were we thinking, right? Bringing in two true freshmen. Skylar Locklear didn't play any meaningful downs at the FCS level. Thinking that's going to transfer to the FBS level? I mean, no. I mean, this is...
Be realistic.
You're paying the consequences of not recruiting at least somebody from the JUCO ranks, anything.
I also want to add, on a completely different but kind of related note, there's a ridiculously amazing NIL opportunity for Pickles right now.
Grillo Pickles?
I mean, hey, he could be popping out the drive-thru window. Want some pickles with that? I'm just saying, Whataburger, Papa Burger, Blake's Lotaburger, I don't give a damn. Any burger place, it's all out there. Go get your money, man.
Maybe Jack in the Box. Big shout out to them.
Give
a little JP Pickles with your Jack in the Box order here right after Miner Talk. I love it. Let's keep it moving in or out as we continue. 915-505-6009 Miner Talk continues here. In or out? I don't even want to ask you this one, Sal. In or out? Oh. Adam Jacklin.
Out, man.
Okay.
I'm out. I'm not going to elaborate.
Yeah.
Out.
Yeah. George, in or out?
Out. He took that punt. He ran it off to the right. And keep in mind that's something you do when you're like on the opponent's side of the field, a directional kick, right? He ran it out for like a few seconds and then kicked the punt right into the face mask of the Louisiana Tech defender. I'm out.
Yeah, you can't really call it a block, Zay. In or out?
Yeah, I've been out since the spring game. I mean, that showing at the spring game was interesting, to say the least. I don't know. I think it's really hit or miss with am I imagining something here? Is it just hit or miss with me with these Australian punters?
Well, maybe it's a hit or miss with Adam Jacklin, period, because he had a 58-yard punt, Alberto, but then he had a low of like, you know, a 29-yard punt in this game, whatever it was. Six punts, he averaged 36.5 yards per punt in this game.
Yeah,
in or out?
I'm unfortunately out. The Miners, like Zay said, they've been showing a weakness at this position since the spring game. I just don't know how much depth they have there. And they constantly give up bad field position. They fortunately have the defense to make some stops. But unfortunately, you know, when you still travel out to Tennessee, what's going to happen out there? They're not going to let up on you. So you have to look forward. I just, like I said, I'm not sure they have any crazy depth at the position.
Okay, instead of an in or out, let's go this or that, or he or him, I should say. And let's go a little Ezell Jolly or Javon Jackson. We'll start with you, George. Ezell Jolly, Javon Jackson, who do you like more?
I like Jolly more. I see a little bit more explosiveness overall from him, but Jackson has made that a much more difficult choice the last couple of weeks.
Okay.
But yeah, I like Jolly.
All right, Sal, Jolly or Jackson, where are you going?
So I'll start off by saying I think it has to be done by committee either way. But just off of the recent history, Jackson's looked amazing. So give me Jackson. I think he's just a couple steps ahead. He's looked a lot quicker than he normally he's looked a lot quicker than he did, you know, at the beginning of the year. So credit to him, man.
Okay. Zay, your thoughts?
Don't do this to me. I mean, if you know me, I run the Ezell Jolly, you know, fan club. I love Ezell Jolly, but you got to ride the hot hand, especially when it comes to running backs, right? One game it could be Jolly, next game it's Jackson. So got to go with Javon Jackson, back-to-back 100-yard games. But I agree completely with Sal. I mean, you ride the by committee, right? Running back by committee. If both running backs are good, you use both of them.
Alberto, your thoughts. Is it Jolly or Jackson?
I really like Jack Jolly, I mean, but I think that the – look, I'm just going to say this. I haven't heard you guys say it. I really think that the coaching staff did him a disservice last game. He's coming off that hot game. Yeah, he fumbles the ball, but that happens to the best running backs in the game. And then you do him a disservice. You no longer give him the football. And then in the fourth quarter when you really need him, you give it to him, and then he gets banged up and he doesn't get the football again. So, yeah, you don't let him get back on his feet, getting reestablished. So that's disappointing, especially after the hot game that he had just before that, right? You want him to get his confidence back, and you don't allow him to do that. So I like Jolly. You just got to give him more opportunities. Good for the Miners to ride the hot hand.
I like both the backs. Just for reference, I'm in on both of them. I'm in on Jackson. I'm going to give the nod to Jackson. I think he's had UTEP's single best offensive play in a relevant game on the year. That fourth down and one play from their own 31-yard line, they're going for it. Wow. I just had to take a pause right there for a second. Wow, you go for it at your own 31 on a fourth and one, whatever it was, 33-yard line, and you go for it fourth and one, and Javon Jackson gets like 25 yards. He races into Louisiana Tech territory, and they end up capping off that drive with that touchdown. So I like it. Let's keep it moving. Let's go a couple other ones, in or out, and then we'll get back to the phone lines as we got George waiting for us here on the phone lines. In or out? Oh, I have to. All right, let's do it, Zay. In or out, Xavier Smith. Go for it.
You know, hopefully he's listening into this, and he replays this every morning when he wakes up. Maybe it's his alarm, because what I'm about to say, you know, I'm going to say out. And he's so young. He has a lot of potential. He's barely been playing, you know, on the defensive side of the ball for, I think, you know, only 2 or 3 years. But, I mean, at least at this point in the season, he's been outplayed by most of the safeties. Oscar Moore has outplayed him, Lance Russell has outplayed him, and Corey Chapman has outplayed him. And you know, that's tough to play against three really, really good guys, three older guys. You know, I was looking at a stat. UTEP's gonna lose 11 of their 13, you know, I say 13 starters. I just saw it right here. 11 of something starters on their defensive side of the ball. You know, Xavier Smith is one of the only starters that's gonna come back next year, who has eligibility to come back. So we've seen the potential with him, but he just hasn't shown me enough these past couple of games.
Okay, I'll ask you, George, and this could be more of a secondary question, but are you in or out on Xavier Smith right now?
I'm going to surprise you all, and I think I'm going to say in, and I'll say why. I think he's more of a safety that you get running downhill. I think if you can put him in positions like Corey Chapman has been in, you know, where you kind of have him blitzing or you have him helping in run support, I think he can do really well in that position. He just has to get that opportunity.
He might have more success with that kind of stuff. Your thoughts, Alberto, in or out?
No, I'm not too quick to jump out on the ship. I think he still has, like Zay said, he's shown us his potential. It's just about letting it develop, and you have to trust in him, especially as he's returning next year.
Okay, Sal, in or out? Xavier Smith.
I'm going to be in. Just looking at, I understand that recently it hasn't looked amazing, but he's part of a defense where other guys are able to make plays as well. I can confidently say UTEP doesn't lose this game strictly because of the defense, let alone Xavier Smith. When UTEP was having trouble against Sam Houston, sure, there are some plays, but he finishes with a half tackle for loss and 7 total tackles to his credit. Finishes with 3 tackles today. He also got 6 against Liberty, 5 Colorado State. Just really enough random numbers, but no, not completely out.
Yeah, I'm with you on that one. I'm not out either. I'm in on Xavier Smith on the long haul. I think it's hard to be out on anybody on this defense the way that they're playing right now. I've really enjoyed how this defense has been lighten it up. Let's just put it that way. Hey, let's continue with more in or out. We also have a ton to read on Twitter and X. A lot of comments to get to here on the program. Let's finally jump back out to the phone lines. George is next, 915-505-6009. George, good evening, man. What's going on?
Well, not much. It was kind of disappointing to see the Miners go down to La Tech and have a couple of opportunities at the end of the game. One of them that jumped out at me was the one that Jackson went on the fourth down, and they didn't even review it. I think it was fourth and one, and they went for it, and he was underneath the pile, and I think he got the yardage that he needed, but nobody even called a timeout or did anything to stop the game so they could at least review the the play. They just after that, LaTeX just they lost the ball on downs. But that was a disappointing that I could have stopped the game or done something so that the referees could have looked at that yardage. I don't know if you remember.
It was yes, I remember this very well, George. I need to jump in because I'm chomping at the bit right here. We didn't talk about this one. We didn't talk about the one how LaTeX player literally faked an injury so they could replay it later on in their side when UTEP clearly didn't get the first down on a fourth down play that the refs missed a bad spot on. So the refs were awful all around. I mean, going back to Milkman's call, Conference USA refs were just atrocious. But yeah, I was wondering. So I had to do some digging. Like, I was like, wait a second, can you actually review this? On a fourth down run play, Javon Jackson had it, and it looked like he got the first down, but then they quickly flipped the possession. LaTeX had the ball, and no one really blinked. And the question was asked to me, can they review it? I did some digging. They could have reviewed it. They actually could have reviewed the spot of the ball. So, George, you're right. That could have made a difference. Maybe they still lose. Maybe, they're not able to score on that drive. But I feel like for the Miners, that one right there was tough because you had an opportunity to get 10 yards or get a first down. And by the end of the game, first downs were hard to come by, no matter how you look at it.
Right. And then JP Pickles, I'm in. I'm in on Jackson. I love Jolly. I love this whole he could be a gimmick play whenever we need short yardage. I think our defense played pretty spot on. There was some yardage some big plays that we did give up, but for the most part, they did play a good game. And I think the defense was stagnant at times. I mean, but not having Locklear in the game, being knocked out the way he was, they're just dirty. LaTeX is just dirty. I think since last year, that stepping on the helmet, and then he just went the balls out and hit Locklear and knocked him into next week. I was cringing when I saw him hit the floor, man.
I know. His head goes back. That was ugly. I feel terrible for him. And you know what? Steve actually just texted into the show. I appreciate the phone call, George. Thanks for weighing in. Steve just texted into the show. He said, listening, you guys haven't brought this up yet. How could the entire UTEP offensive line watch that play on Locklear and then no one retaliated immediately against Zemos? Would you expect a few offensive guys to try and destroy Zemos after a cheap shot like that? It's kind of like last year, Sal.
Yeah,
this
exactly.
is the exact same thing happened last year. Same thing. A player steps on him. No one else saw it, really,
yes.
Or no one reacted.
It's ridiculous. And the only form of, I guess if you want to say it, like retaliation, was JP Pickles. He went for a run. I don't know if it was the play after or, later on, but he went straight into the linebacker's face on the next one on a run. But that's pretty much it. And if nobody remembers it, That's proof enough right there that they need to do something to back your guys up. They talk about brotherhood and family, fast, fearless, physical. Where was all of that? Come on, guys. Where the hell is your pride?
Yeah, I mean, if you had your player knocked out like that, I mean, I get it. There could be some visibility issues, but, I mean, come on. Some of these guys were right there, Zay. Like, they were right in front. What do you think on that one right there?
Yeah, I mean, Sal said it right there. You know, this is a so-called brotherhood, but I mean, if I saw my brother get absolutely knocked out, pummeled, and a blatant, that was not, he didn't have to do all that. You got to do something, especially it's your quarterback, right? This
right.
is your quarterback, the leader of your offense, sometimes even the leader of your team, and you're just going to let him, get knocked out like that? No.
Yeah, it's not cool. I didn't like that one at all. Let's keep it moving with In or Out. 915-505-6009, by the way. We're just going to start winding it down after this with some Twitter questions and thoughts, and then some final thoughts looking ahead to Middle Tennessee. We're not going to be back on a Minor Talk for 12 days, guys, so a little bit of a break here on the program. In or out, Sal Montes? Buzz Flabiano.
Out, man. Out. I know people were trying to be in after the last game, but oh, man, come on. But I do want to say this, though, because WeFence was special today, and we talk a lot about, Jacqueline or Flabiano, but Papalardo, Joe Papalardo and Seth McDonald, they're the ones who are in charge of WeFence, and there's not been a lot of improvement. I understand that missed field goals may not necessarily fall entirely on them. It could go wide left, wide right. But where are the adjustments for the blocking on the punt teams? Also, too, guys taking ill-advised returns and giving UTEP terrible field position. There has to be a lot of improvement on that.
Okay, I got you. In, you're out on Buzz Flabiano, Sal. I've been out. I mean, just on the record, I've been. You know, this is kind of like my Kevin Kalu. I sold my Kalu coin like after year one, cashed in on it, sold out on it, and then I'm never going.
I'm
back
still
on
holding,
it.
By the way. You're still holding on my Kalu
okay.
coins.
You
yeah.
might, you might actually come up positive in the green.
Well, I mean, it's a long term investment. You know, you're not going to see it right away. It's not a crypto, Kev. It's the Kalu coin. It's different.
Oh, man, yeah. I like it. Let's go with you, George. In or out, Buzz Flabiano?
Way, way, way out. I'm out. I'm done.
Wow. I don't. You want to, like, change a kicker out? Because I don't know if I'm there yet.
I mean, at this point, it obviously wouldn't make a difference. He'll probably still miss as much as Buzz. But, I mean, yeah.
Okay. Alberto, I know you're going to be in on this. The memes were too good for you to be out.
I'm in on Flabiano. I think he needs to – look, he missed one from 42, but then he makes one from 44.
And so, nails it. Absolutely
yeah,
nails
right
it.
Right down the middle. So it's like, you know it's there. You know he has what it takes. It's just kind of – he has some jitters. He has some sort of emotional block sometimes. But he needs to see a sports psychologist, I think, or something. He needs to get some like an egg rubbed on him or something. He needs to visit the right people.
I like the egg rubbed on
him.
That's funny.
It's something because it's like something – it's really hit or miss, but it needs to get it solved because you need an efficient kicking game.
Zay?
Oh, man. I mean, I feel like – thank you. Somebody's in. I mean, I'm in. Are we forgetting this is college? Do people know what college kickers do? They miss. College kickers miss. It could be so much worse than this. You know, 42-yarder missing it. Okay, like that's not great. But let's be for real here. He's not horrible. And it could be horrible. We saw Louisiana Tech's kicker miss a give me.
Yeah.
A give me right down the middle. Great angle. College kickers miss.
That's interesting. We saw that too against Southern Utah. But what do we know? But I will say this, though. I'm being sarcastic there, but I will say he's not the reason they lost this game. Absolutely not.
Oh, man. I don't know, guys. I just can't get in on the buzz stuff. I don't know. I mean, Zay, I hear what you're saying, but don't take Gavin Beckley for granted. He was automatic. Within 45, you knew Gavin Beckley was making everything.
I don't know. Yeah, I mean, his last year, but are we going to talk about his years before that?
Okay.
Going
18
for 24 the year before?
It's fair. It's a fair point that you bring up. I mean, but he is the all-time leader, for UTEP career field goal and field goals made. And I just feel like you lose somebody like that, maybe you just took him for granted as a collective. We took Gavin Beckley for granted for just being automatic in kicks, and a 70% Buzz Flabiano, you won't say anything when he makes the 70% of them, but everybody's going to be hammering their fists on the table as soon as he misses that 30%. I think that's the bottom line. Maybe that's unfair. Maybe we are being unfair, Zay, so just tell us we're being unfair right here.
I think it's granted that, you know, you're going to be on him on the 30%, but at the same time, I mean, he's a sophomore. He's a college kicker at UTEP. UTEP, you know, you do take a guy like Beckley for granted, but it could always be worse. That's all I'll say, especially with kickers. College kickers, I mean, you see it with Adam Jacklin. These specialists, it could always be worse.
Yeah, all right. I hear you on that. Let's go to Twitter and X. We got a bunch of tweets to get to now. I think we did a good job, guys, on in or out on our segment. So good stuff, guys. Tristan Pence, I hope Skyler is okay. That was a dirty and deliberate hit he took. UTEP lost a game tonight they shouldn't have. La Tech was held to 7 yards rushing. The coaches have to call a better game offensively, regardless of the quarterback situation. Third down conversions were a killer. Zay, that defensive stat that he brought up, 7 yards rushing, that's something that we had talked about recently. This UTEP rush defense is starting to step up.
I mean, yeah. They really are, and it's good to see. But at the same time, I mean, they have to get off the field. I know we're having a lot of fun praising this defense, but there were a couple of times on this whole game that they had them third and medium, third and long, and they just could not seem to get off the field. And it was just frustrating to watch. It was very frustrating to watch.
Isao Hermosillo, this loss falls on Scotty Walden. Terrible play calling down the stretch with J.P. Pickles. If you have no faith in J.P. Pickles throwing the ball, that's on the staff for not having him ready. Why is Shea playing special teams, burning a game? La Tech players play games to pretend to be injured. Oh yeah, what do you think about that one there, Sal? You give us your thoughts on
that. You know what, I'll be honest, I was looking at some tweets, so I missed the final part of it, but what was that final part?
He was saying something like La Tech players who pretend to get injured, but the main part was the first part.
I mean, as far as the players pretending to get injured, that's good coaching by Cumbie. Hey, it really wasn't a first down when you think about it, and the refs are not good. Are you going to leave the game in the refs' hands like live ball? No, I definitely do. I definitely agree that it was a good part by Cumbie to fake that injury at the end, because who won at the end, right?
Yeah, I mean, it's a good point. I hate the rule. It doesn't make it right, but it is the case. It is what it is.
And also, too, let's flip it around, right? And let's just say, and I can't remember if La Tech had timeouts or not, but let's say UTEP's in that same situation, and La Tech gets that first down, but they had UTEP has an opportunity to fake an injury or something, so that way the clock stops and the play gets reviewed. Fans would be like, great coaching by Walden to take advantage of a situation. So I think that's great coaching by Cumbie there.
Okay, George, let me ask you this one right here. This is coming in from our pal Leo, who's been with us since day one. Is this one of the best losses in quite some time, especially on the road? It feels like it was as bad. It was as bad as it felt offensively and on special teams. Progress, question mark? Hashtag minor talk.
No, because this La Tech team, before today, had two wins. Let me throw you some good best stats here. UTEP averaged 4 yards a play on offense. They only found three receivers that they completed passes to. Where are the tight ends? They're not using the middle of the field. No, this is one of the worst losses. They invented ways to lose. 1 for 14 on third down, a blocked punt, and a missed field goal. No, worst. One of the worst losses.
Yeah, I don't think it's one of the best losses right there, Leo. Do I feel as bad as I felt, you know, in some of those blowout defeats? Like, Sam Houston to me is still the worst loss. I hated that game. You lose like that at home, that still feels like the worst loss. But yeah, I hear what you're saying right there. Let's go to this one right here. This is some guy, Chris. We love him. He's on Twitter and X, and he tweets us this one. Offense/play calling. Is a huge problem. Really let down the defense tonight. And he followed it up with an interesting stat, and I'll bring it up to you, Alberto, because I found this one was really interesting. And this is from our pal, some guy Chris, okay? So let me pull it up here because he sent it my way. Two lowest points per game since the 1998 season. 2017, they were 11.8 points per game, 0-12. That's what they were. This year, 17 points per game through 8 games. They are 1-7, Alberto, so far.
Yeah, it's extremely disappointing and horrible to watch, right? Horrible, horrible football to watch. And just, you know, I'll comment on the state of the offense and how it looked after the exit of Skylar Locklear. I think that at the end of the day, when you're just trying to be very honest with yourself, what you saw after Skylar exited was just not only disappointing, but it was, at the end of the day, a non-competitive team, right? You had every opportunity to win that game. You had multiple chances to go out there and pass. Had a lead that you had, and instead you put out a guy who wasn't throwing to the middle of the field, and instead of going to the local for the rest of the season or even for the rest of this game, you elect to go for J.P. Pickles. And I think that the city much rather watch the rest of the season out with Shea Smith fighting it out than they would with J.P. Pickles. And instead of giving them that, with which in my opinion you owe them after the season that you've had, and you owe it to the kid after you've made him play special teams, is it's just disappointing. It's just extremely disappointing. And when you realize and you just chalk it up to you had every opportunity to win this game, which is it's extremely true, it's going to stink for a while. And I'm hoping that Shea Smith gets more opportunities because what we saw today from JP Pickle is just not enough.
King Eric checks into the program. This loss is inexcusable. Yes, Locklear got hurt, but this game was in reach. Buzz missing that field goal proved to be a big momentum swing. Overall, this should have been a W. Augustine, don't you like how excited Duke Keith sounds every time there's a minor game? Hashtag highlight. I love it. Good stuff. Quinn Dowes, 98. The offensive play calling is very reminiscent of my freshman high school team. I feel like I could be just as effective now as I was if I were placed on the team at right now. Screens and RPOs aren't going to cut it, Scotty. If your quarterbacks can't throw, then it's time to go to the triple option or something. Adrian at Enemy Win 3. Didn't La Tech take a cheap shot that went viral last year, too? I see a pattern here. Yep, we talked about that one too, my man. Augustine, could you say that UTEP football has proven to be what people were not expecting, but unfortunately self-evident? You get FCS talent, you get FCS quality on the field. Hashtag minor talk. UTEP Mineto, the absence of Division I level offensive coaching expertise and play calling experience. It's not the players. That's what he says. Julian checks in on the program as we continue here. Walden going for the home run play after fourth down stop killed the momentum for the Miners. Reminiscent of the double pass in the Sam Houston game after the turnover. I love Walden's energy, but I'm not sold on his offensive prowess. This is coming in from Manny David. Not sure what else to say other than what else has been said. Just wanted to forget about this game already since it's the fourth quarter. Hopefully Locklear is back for Middle Tennessee in the Sun Bowl. If not, hopefully Shea gets the start. This is Esteban. Adrian, it's not midseason. The season's over. The minor offense was so disgusting, I was rooting for the Bulldogs. Robert Urquidy, Corey Chapman is the best player on this team. Zay, what would you say to that one?
You know, he probably is. I think Corey Chapman is probably...
What a swing you have right there. Wow.
Yeah, you know, he had 4.5, 3.5 TFLs?
Yeah. Yeah, 3.5. 3.5 today with a sack.
You know...
What a game.
Yeah. I mean, welcome back. Welcome back. But Maurice Westmoreland's right there. He's coming.
let's spend 10 seconds for West Texas Mo. But before that, let's pause 10 seconds for station identification. You're listening to Minor Talk brought to you by Jack in the Box here on 600 ESPN El Paso. Minor Talk is back, presented by Jack in the Box, along with George Guardado, Sal Montes, Zay Galindo, Alberto Reta. I'm Adrian Broaddus. We're live on Inspo Lens. Check them out online, InspoLens.com. Great stories, great breaking news, great news stories, just period, coming up on InspoLens.com. Check them out on Instagram as well, Inspo Lens. We are live right now, Twitter and X, and YouTube, along with Facebook as well, as we continue here on Minor Talk. 915-505-6006. Sal, West Texas Mo is back. He now has 4.5 sacks and added 2 tonight. I mean, what a performance for him.
Yeah, and this is after there's been film on him as well. We know that it was a rough start to the year. Really not making his name heard when it comes to broadcast. I mean, he was getting a lot of attention, but now kind of able to do his thing. And it's also part of what Coach Clark is doing, bringing guys around and other guys getting in the mix. So they're worried about Chapman and other players as well, but he's doing a big progress right now, a progress report, I should say, for this defense. And that's what you want. This defense has been progressively getting better over these last 4 or 5 weeks. And to see him emerge in the stat line, not just for tackles, but tackles for losses, it's huge.
I agree with you on that completely, man. It is huge. And I feel like when you have West Texas Mo stepping up like that, Zay, I mean, that's just what you've been hoping for from the Kilgore product. Maybe it's a late season come around for Maurice Westmoreland. Maybe he had been dealing with something, behind the scenes or whatever it is. It seems like he's back.
Yeah, and thankfully. I mean, boy, have I missed him. He just looks more around the ball. I said this last time, but, you know, the West Texas Mo that I know is always around the football. He's always making those plays. He's a playmaker, and he was making plays tonight. And I like his little celebration where he just kind of just flexes. He just flexes, looks at the sideline, and he'll start flexing. Yeah, absolutely love that.
Yeah, I like that one too. I'm totally behind that as well. As we continue, 915-505-6009. A couple other posts getting in on the program. This coming in from Jesus Trejo. We need a better punter. Ridiculous average. Locklear succeeded in FCS but can't hack it in the FBS. You know, I would just say, you know, tonight I would have liked to see what would have happened if you know, something like you know, Locklear actually played the rest of this game. I don't know if that would have meant a win. I don't really know what would have happened, but I just hated that hit on him so much. I just want to, you know, continue to say that right there. Other tweets that came in. This is Joe Chacon. Out, repetitive play calling, and a kicker with a leg but no accuracy. Get him some glasses like they did for the Wild Thing in Major League Movie. In me, expect to start seeing me in person more often with all my thoughts. Hashtag reppin' from El Chuco now. There you go, Sal. He's back.
He's back, man. We got to do a meetup. I'm down.
And he said, let's get together. Hashtag Pinky. So there you go. He's trying to hang out with Pinky, too. So right. I like it. This is also, Duke Keith said, it's all recorded before the season. It is recorded before the season. Good stuff. My man. Slot Bandit 777. What happened to Walden and his exciting brand of football that he was bringing? Stupid screen plays for a loss or no gain. A run for loss or no gain. Run against to get nowhere. Punt. That about sums up every possession. Boring product. The defense is the saving grace. Poncho. UTEP will blame the loss of the quarterback injury, but the truth is the offense is terrible. 1 of 13 on third down. Almost three quarters before the first conversion. Defense failed when they needed them most. La Tech wasn't much better. They were the least bad team. I guess that's how we can remember this one, Zay. La Tech is not a good team, though.
Yeah, they really aren't. And, I mean, if you're a sicko, if you're like the sickos committee, you're part of the sickos committee, then, hey, this was an amazing game to watch. But if you're normal and you just want to watch some football, you probably turn this game off.
Yeah, I was ready to watch some Bronny, you know, LeBron tonight. That's for sure. Milkman, the Miners flat out got robbed tonight. No other way to put it. Hashtag dirty play. Hashtag Miner talk. Alexa Dominguez, defense played well. No other way to say it. But UTEP let one get away. This one coming in from our pal in Mineto. The players demonstrate exceptional skills, maintaining possession, advancing the ball, and executing effective blocks. However, the primary concern lies with the play calling, not other aspects. Ooh, I like it, Mineto. Crafty with your choice of words. Snappy trades. Game on the line. You know, Scotty Walden did not throw, though. That is extremely contradicting. Hashtag minor talk. This is checking in from Brian. Jacqueline sucks. Flabiano is on and off. Makes us miss Beckley and Sloan. Walden raising questions, especially not allowing JP to throw more passes. Absolutely. But maybe we can win at home. Count me and my best friend in for the KSU game November 9th. That's Kennesaw game November 9th. Eddie Morelos just saying that I want to shout out the UTEP football stat crew. Hashtag minor talk. Shout out to you, Eddie Morelos, as well. Vince, UTEP needs to revisit their punting personnel this offseason. Hashtag minor talk. And Pinky, your in and out segment is fire. Appreciate you, Pinky. Thank you for tuning in and listening to us here on Minor Talk as we continue. As we start to wind things down, 915-505-6009. That's our telephone number. If anybody wants to duck in a late call, 600 ESPN El Paso on Twitter and X. Fortunately for UTEP Zay, the fact that they play Middle Tennessee is a great thing because, like La Tech, Middle Tennessee is a bad football team.
They sure are. And, you know, I think Middle Tennessee lost, what was it, 48-21 against Louisiana Tech? Something like that.
Something awful, yeah.
Yeah, so, you know, win number two, you're going to have your opportunity in the Sun Bowl. And
regardless of QB.
Regardless of QB. Yeah, I think regardless of QB. If it's going to be J.P. Pickles, Shea Smith, Skylar Locklear, if it's going to be me suiting out, it doesn't really matter. I think they'll have their shot. And I definitely think that we're going to see the ball thrown a lot more if J.P. Pickles is quarterback, simply because you're going to have, you know, almost 2 weeks to prepare for that, 2 weeks to get him ready for his second taste of action. And I'm excited. You know, I am excited regardless of what's happening because I'm just ready for a Saturday game in the Sun Bowl.
Sal, how did we follow up or how did we proceed a game like this? Or what was the game before La Tech and UTEP a week ago? How about a thriller? Middle Tennessee defeating Kennesaw State 14-5.
Yep.
This week it's a 14-10 finish. Last week 14-5. Middle Tennessee comes to town next Saturday. How do you see this one for the Miners?
I think it's going to go down in similar fashion. Two really bad teams with a chance to win it at the end. It's kind of like Christmas comes early, and I was joking about this with Alberto today. It was like Christmas came early, and they were very generous to each other. Here, you have the football game. No. I beg you, please, you take the football game. That's exactly how it's going to go down, but Middle Tennessee is no better than Louisiana Tech. They're a lot worse, that 48-21 loss, but just kind of looking at their schedule so far, they beat their FCS team 32-25. That's Tennessee Tech, but they drop they have 52 dropped on them by Ole Miss. I mean, we understand that, but Western drops 49 on them. Duke drops 45, which we understand. Louisiana Tech drops 48, so this is a very suspect defense as well. UTEP will have their chance to get some plays. I really want to see what they do as far as play calling goes, especially with more than 7 days to prepare for this one. But all in all, Adrian, it's going to come down to a one-possession game. Whoever has the ball is probably going to lose because the defense is going to step up. I don't know who.
It has to be somebody on the defense that really does this, but it's an opportunity for them. George, you know, they get back to town. They get a chance to play this Middle Tennessee team who's not very good. Maybe they get a win.
Yeah, we talked about it last week, right, that between these two games, you have to get the split here. And Middle Tennessee is the team, right, to do it against. Yeah, 48 dropped on them by Louisiana Tech. UTEP was able to hold them to 14, so I don't know what that says about either team. But I think it's going to be what you guys said. It's going to be, you know, a generous game where whoever plays the least worst will win the game.
Yeah, I think it's going to be that kind of game, man, when it's all said and done. Alberto, your thoughts on this one? It should be a weird one, and it's a Saturday afternoon game. We're done with Conference USA Cassaction weeknight action.
Yeah, finally done with the weeknight action. But, yeah, Miners have all the time in the world to prepare. 12 days, it's more than you could ask for in this day and age. So I'm excited for what the Miners have to bring, but they can't go back to the same offensive recipe and expect different results because that's going to be foolish and it's not going to provide positive results, and that's how you lose the fan base. You have 12 days to figure it out. I don't know what you're going to do. I'm also not paid to figure it out, though, so triple option, Shea Smith, Zach, I don't know. Like, you're going to have to figure something out, but you can't put up just 10 points and expect to win games, and you can't expect your defense to continue to make plays if you're just going to put zeros up on offense.
I'm curious to see what happens there at the quarterback spot. I wish the best for Skylar Locklear, though, Sal, when it's all said and done.
Yeah, no, definitely. That's I think, if anything, if people are going to take something away from a Miner Talk tonight, it's the game is the game, but we hope that Skylar Locklear is okay. So,
yeah.
You know, shout out to him for putting it on the line literally tonight. But on another note, just kind of looking ahead, I know that Middle still has to play their game against Jacksonville State, who they are major underdogs to it. And this is going to tie into my next point, but Jack State has an 89% chance to win that game. This according to ESPN's matchup predictor. But when I look at this one between UTEP and Middle Tennessee, although they have yet to play that game, that being Middle against Jax, UTEP has a 59.2% chance to Middle Tennessee's 40.8% chance to win the game. So they might be favored going into next week.
Wow, that's pretty funny.
We'll see. This is just
no,
the
they
stack
actually
in front
might
of
be.
Me. Yeah.
If it's like a field goal game or something like that, or 1.5, whatever the odds end up being, I wouldn't be surprised. I think that might end up being the right move, although the quarterback side of things could end up shifting things for UTEP.
Yeah.
Florida International goes to their fourth-string quarterback. Miners had to throw out a third quarterback option tonight. Maybe you can argue that he was the fourth quarterback on the depth chart when it was all said and done. Zay, I think the big lesson here is don't take your quarterback health for granted.
Do not take your quarterback health for granted, and just don't take your quarterbacks for granted, even if at times they make, you know, some interesting throws and you know, their name is Gavin and their last name is Hardison. Just don't take them for granted, you know? Just don't take them for granted sometimes.
Oh, man. I love it. Hey, I can't thank everybody who listened to us here on Minor Talk enough. They hung in with us on a Tuesday evening. It's 11:16. Everybody's got work tomorrow, and in Zay's case, school tomorrow, and in George's case, school tomorrow as well. So I appreciate everybody for listening to us. What if you did not listen to us here live on Minor Talk, you can catch us on replay on Inspo Lens or wherever you listen to Minor Talk on demand. But we're going to sign off here tonight, and that's going to we're going to turn the page, look over to next week. We'll be back after Middle Tennessee and UTEP. I still think UTEP struggles in that game. Maybe they get the win. I'll say yes, this is the next UTEP win right here. So make them 2-7 when it's all said and done against Middle Tennessee. So let's see what happens. Let's see if that ends up being the case. Thanks to Jack in the Box. Hey, with 15 locations open 24/7 in El Paso and Las Cruces, Jack in the Box is the perfect spot before and after every game. Hey, that'll do it for us here on Minor Talk. For Sal Montes, for George Guardado, for Alberto Retta, for Zay Galindo, for Chris and Inspo Lens, I'm Adrian Broaddus signing off and saying thanks for listening to Minor Talk here on 600 ESPN El Paso.